This is a special edition of the Peter B. Collins podcast aimed at California voters who face a dizzying array of initiatives on the November ballot, 17 altogether. And many listeners and some of my friends have asked me to share my views on the ballot measures before the voters in California this year. And I'll do that with one provision. And that is, I try very hard, and I've been doing radio and podcasting for over 40 years. I try to never cross the line in appearing to tell people how to vote. And so, as we go through these ballot measures, I'm going to give you my views, my opinion, and in most cases, I will tell you how I plan to vote. But I respect you and your intelligence, and I hope that this is just part of the research that you are doing to prepare before you vote at home or at the polls on November 8th. And just to get us all greased up and ready to face the initiative process, which is driven by big money special interests and often is a reflection of the failure of the California legislature to do its job, I dug into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, and this gem, if I do say so myself, from the 1992 initiative process. Most of it is still relevant today.
The following is paid propaganda from the committee to vote yes on no, with major funding from whining fat cats, trust fund yuppies, and PR firms with very flexible ethics.
If you're like me, you're tired of being blasted on the radio and the TV with heavy-handed, one-sided political commercials. Our committee is sponsoring a write-in ballot proposition for this November's election that'll let you say no to agitprop from big oil, big booze, big business, and big mouth political consultants. It's Proposition Zero, the proposition to end all future propositions. When you go into the voting booth, just write in Proposition Zero. Then vote yes on the no proposition proposition. Your yes vote will say no to the tactics of distortion, lies, innuendo, and personal attack. Your yes vote means no more tricky counter-propositions from the industries threatened by other propositions on the same ballot. Your yes vote means no more fees to corporate law firms trying to rewrite the laws to suit their deep-pocket clients. And your yes vote means no more insulting radio and TV ads with bad dialogue. If you're the kind of voter who answers no opinion when the pollsters call, Proposition Zero will fully protect your constitutional right to have no opinion and keep it to yourself. So forget everything else you've heard and just say no to it all. Vote yes on Proposition Zero.
Well, I was amused by that, and I hope you are too. And part of what I referenced in that old spot is that we have dueling ballot measures for and against the death penalty, for and against single-use plastic bags. So let me start with those. Proposition 62 is a straightforward measure that will repeal the death penalty as an available punishment for crime in California and replace it with life without parole. The last time we attempted this, it came very close to passage, and the polls show that it is right at the 50% mark right now. And I support repealing the death penalty in California on a moral and philosophical basis. I don't support capital punishment, and as a practical matter, it does not serve as a deterrent. And many innocent people have been executed in this country, despite the best efforts of a process that has appeals that, in fact, do drag on for years. So I am in favor of Proposition 62. Now, supporters of the death penalty qualified Prop 66, and it is questionable in many respects as to whether it actually would pass muster, both constitutionally and with the legal process. But it is an effort to speed up the very lengthy process of appeals that are already the process here in California. And on the one hand, if you support capital punishment, I can imagine that it's deeply frustrating that we don't have swift executions following the conviction of a criminal. But because so many individuals have been found innocent who were consigned to death row, because I have a moral opposition to it, and because it really doesn't have the effect that its proponents argue. And the bottom line is, when somebody commits a crime that would enable them to qualify for the death penalty, it's a very serious crime, It's a premeditated murder. It's the murder of a police officer and other special circumstances. And I argue that these are not rational acts. And the individuals don't sit back and say, should I kill this cop? Should I kill this person who I am planning to execute myself? These are not rational thought processes. And trying to apply a rational framework to irrational behavior, in my view, is on the face of it, irrational itself. So I do have some sympathies for people who philosophically support the death penalty and who are frustrated by what they consider to be liberals who have, thrown all kinds of barriers in the way of completing the process of executing a condemned inmate. So my bottom line is I will vote yes on 62, and I will vote no on 66. And I want to add an important note about these dueling ballot measures regarding the death penalty. Under the initiative process, if both of these measures get 50% plus one and nominally pass, only the one that gets the most votes, or more votes to be accurate, is the one that passes. So, despite the fact that the last attempt to repeal the death penalty came up just a little short, if it gets over 50% this time, it still could be defeated if Prop 66 gets a higher percentage of the vote. Currently, the polling shows that Prop 66 has a huge undecided element, and how those voters swing into place in the next few weeks is going to be crucial. The other pair of dueling ballot measures are quite confusing. Proposition 65 is a measure that would affirm the act of the legislature, which a couple of years ago passed a law banning the use of single-use plastic bags at grocery and other retail stores in California. As it was about to go into effect, the plastic bag industry intervened and qualified its own ballot measure to challenge this. And just for extra flavor, it put on another ballot measure. We'll get to that in just a moment. So I want to be very clear. If you vote yes on Proposition 65, you are doing the bidding of the plastic bag industry. It is a vote to redirect the money that is collected from the sale of paper bags or multiple-use bags by grocery or retail stores to a special fund administered by the Wildlife Conservation Board. Now, on first sniff, this seems like a nice idea. But it's really payback from the plastic bag industry to the grocers and others who have supported the banning of the single-use plastic bags. Let me just pause for a moment to note that it was last week that we reported on the latest survey of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Floating offshore in the middle of the ocean is this massive dump, and much of it is comprised of this kind of human waste product. And these bags don't degrade. They sit in the landfill for a long time. When they blow into the ocean, birds and fish and others can get caught up in them. And so there are many good reasons to say we don't need these, and this is one way we can clean up the planet. But the plastic bag industry says, oh gosh, paper bags have a true cost to the environment because you got to cut down a lot of trees to produce those paper bags. So they use environmental arguments to promote an anti-environmental stance. And by dressing it up with this first ballot measure, 65 appears before the second one I'm about to mention, 67, you look at that and say, Wildlife Conservation Board, it doesn't even exist right now. It is a concoction. And again, it is designed as part of this big-picture muscular effort to leverage the people of California into overturning the legislative action, which was Senate Bill 270. So, I will be voting no on Prop 65, which would redirect money collected from carry-out bags to the Wildlife Conservation Board, and I will be voting yes on Prop 67, which upholds the contested legislation banning single-use plastic bags that was enacted by the state legislature. So I understand that the industry did its best to both confuse, flummox, and manipulate, I guess that's three things, the voters of California. So I hope you'll study that carefully and do not be fooled. Now we'll take the rest of the ballot measures in order as they are numbered and appear on the ballot. Proposition 51 authorizes the sale of $9 billion in bonds that would be issued if voters approve it, and it would be spent on the construction of new school facilities, $500 million for charter schools, $3 billion for modernization of school facilities, $500 million for providing facilities for career technical education programs, $2 billion for buying, constructing, renovating, and equipping community college facilities. And this is a tough one. Governor Jerry Brown, who is frugal and who has been around the block quite a few times, is opposed to this measure. And I think he has some good reasons, because this came out of the construction trade unions and the construction industry in California. And they are trying to basically get the voters to pre-approve spending on projects that haven't been designed or approved yet. So it is money in search of facilities that need upgrading. Now, fundamentally, California's public schools are aging. Many of them were not that great when they were built. And I'm sympathetic to the need to improve our education infrastructure in California. But because of the origins of this measure, I am dubious. And currently, it is trending below 50% in support. So my personal view is that I am going to vote no on Prop 51, but I understand that many people who think it'll give a jolt to the construction industry in California, and many people who think that it will ultimately benefit us with improved educational facilities, you may have good reasons for voting yes. Now, Proposition 52 is the most technical and complicated one from a voter's point of view. I've taken a close look at this, and what we have is a situation here where currently the federal government's Medicaid program helps pay for health care services, and in California we call that Medi-Cal. In order for a state to receive federal Medicaid funds, the state has to contribute a matching amount of its own money. So in 2009, a new program was created so that California hospitals were required to pay a fee to help California obtain the available federal Medicaid funds. This program has resulted in California hospitals receiving about $2 billion a year in additional federal Medi-Cal money. Now, I am in favor of this process. I am in favor of the way this is structured, and I understand that we have to put so-called skin in the game to get the matching federal funds. My biggest reason for opposing Prop 52 is that this is ballot box budgeting, and it locks in place the tax on hospitals and the diversion of that money to the federal matching funds. And my concern is that we may see changes in federal health care structure, and if my dreams come true and someday we move to a single-payer plan, I think that this could become a boondoggle. Also, if California has another economic downturn and we see budget shortfalls in Sacramento, by locking in this spending, the legislature has very little flexibility. And keep in mind that voters, when they passed Prop 98, which locks in virtually half of the state budget to be spent on public education K through 12, that's something, it's a feel-good measure. Many people support it because they think it's the only way to get appropriate funding. But when we hit the skids in 2007 to 2009, when Schwarzenegger was running huge deficits, there was very little room for the legislature to borrow from here to pay over there. And that's the biggest reason why I won't be supporting Proposition 52. Now, to Prop 53. This one is a measure that was put on the ballot by a wealthy farmer in the Central Valley. And he is arguing that currently the voters are not required to approve some of the biggest spending projects that California gets involved with. So, for example, Jerry Brown has this ambitious high-speed rail project that is totally underfunded. And this gentleman from the Central Valley, his name is Dean Cortopassi, he argues that voters statewide should have to approve infrastructure projects that exceed $2 billion. And if you're an opponent of high-speed rail, or you're an opponent of Jerry Brown's water-diverting tunnels to take Sacramento Delta River Delta water and ship it south, you may think that this has, you know, some value to you. But I believe that it once again will tie the hands of the legislature and make it difficult to get approval for important projects. And arguments have been raised that I find compelling, that if San Diego wants to build a stadium and it costs more than $2 billion, they have to get approval from voters in San Francisco. And I don't think that makes sense. And so, in you know, my inclination at this point is to vote no on Proposition 53. Then we get to Prop 54. Proposition 54 is called the Public Display of Legislative Bills Prior to Vote Proposition. And this is something I fully support, because all too often in Sacramento, we see that a bill that was designed to say that cotton candy is bad for you is subjected to what's called a gut and amend. And then next thing you know, it's a bill about, farm workers or, some other aspect that's completely unrelated to the original intent. There's a lot of stuff that goes on where items get stuffed into bills that legislators really don't know about. And the public has a hard time following the activities of the legislature because they work hard to keep it that way. So this is an initiative that was spawned from public interest groups, and it also is funded by a wealthy Republican named Charles Munger Jr. He is one of those people whose father worked for Warren Buffett, and he's busy spending that money. And I actually think that this is a good government measure. It blocks the legislature from passing any bill unless it has been in print and published on the Internet for at least 72 hours before the vote, except in cases of public emergency. It requires the legislature to make audiovisual recordings of all its proceedings except closed session proceedings and post them on the Internet. That's not currently required. And so I think that these are, good improvements in the way that our government operates. And we know that the legislators themselves will never approve this kind of self-regulation. And that's why Hiram Johnson championed the initiative process. And for me, this is one of the better measures on the ballot this year. So yes, I will be voting yes on Proposition 54. Proposition 55, the extension of the Proposition 30 income tax increase, is something that I support. Now, I do think that this was structured in a little bit of a slippery way, but it's slippery in a way that I approve of. We have to go back to Prop 30, which Jerry Brown put on the ballot shortly after he became governor to try to repair the economic damage done by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was captive to the Republicans, who were in turn captive to Grover Norquist, and they refused to raise taxes even when California reached the bottom in 2006 to 2008. And so Proposition 30, the voters sucked it up, and we agreed to tax ourselves. And the components of it included an income tax increase for the highest earners in California. And at the time, Prop 30 also included a 1-point increase in the sales tax. So what's slippery about this is that this is a renewal only of the tax on high incomes. It does not include an extension of the sales tax. And I approve of that. I didn't approve of the sales tax component before, because it is regressive and it certainly is more of a burden to low-income individuals and families than the tax on the rich is. So I think that this is a reasonable balance. Governor Brown has stayed neutral on this. He says that essentially he thinks he can squeak through that there's enough money in the till as California, the California economy has improved. But on balance, I think the state needs the money. Fully half of it will go to K through 12 education. And what I am offended by is that, once again, the advertising for this ballot measure is using the threat of cuts to education if it doesn't pass. And that was the tactic that Brown used to pass it, 5 years ago. And I find that offensive. It was then, and I find it offensive today. Nonetheless, I think California needs the money. And because, of course, it won't affect me, it's easy to say, yeah, I can vote for that one. And Chloe is piping up in support, too. She likes to soak the rich. Next, we have Proposition 56. The tobacco industry is spending $56 million to defeat it.
You can't take the country out of Salem. You can take Salem out of the country, but you can't take the country out of Salem.
Now, I have to start by telling you that some of the most offensive commercials running on radio and television right now are paid for by the tobacco industry, and they use a female announcer who says that wealthy special interests have put Proposition 56 on the ballot. Now, that is so Orwellian. Are not tobacco companies wealthy special interests? And they're trying to defeat it. And it's interesting that Prop 56 has drawn $56 million of tobacco money to try to defeat it. It would put a $2 a pack tax on cigarettes and an equivalent tax on tobacco products and e-cigarettes. Prop 56 is aimed at generating revenue to help cover the costs of tobacco use. And the impact of tobacco on the healthcare system is quite measurable. So from a dollar generated, 10 cents goes into the general fund, a quarter goes toward tobacco prevention, healthcare services for low-income people, and environmental protection, 2 cents goes toward breast cancer screening and research, and 50 cents goes toward early childhood development programs, and this is to help recover the damage from this tax to the previous tobacco tax that Rob Reiner passed back in 1998. That was Proposition 10. So this overall, I think, is a well-balanced use of the money, and I think that it may provide the incentive for many people to stop smoking. After all, studies have shown that the more you raise the price, the less people will smoke, and in particular, younger people are less likely to pick up a habit like that if it is extremely expensive. Now, I recognize the arguments that this inhibits free choice, that this is a legal product, and that we have demonized the people who use it every way possible. But I think it is a balanced way of covering the costs that are incurred because some people choose to smoke. And I think that it is a way that is likely to pass, despite the fact that the tobacco industry has spent tons of money with misleading ads trying to persuade voters that it's not a good idea. Next, we get to Proposition 57. And Governor Brown, to his credit, put this on the ballot, and he did it at the last minute, had to go all the way to the state Supreme Court to get it put on the ballot. It supports increasing parole and good behavior opportunities for felons convicted of nonviolent crimes, and it allows judges, not prosecutors, to decide whether to try juveniles as adults in court. And I support this because Jerry Brown has been referring to it as a second chance. People's attitudes toward crime and punishment have changed, and many people understand that we have over-incarcerated, that we have sentenced people to long stretches for minor crimes, and this is an effort to undo that damage. And Jerry Brown helped cause this damage because in 1977, when he was governor the first time, he signed into law the so-called Determinate Sentencing Act, and that made the parole board irrelevant in many cases. And so it limited the ability of the prison system to reward good behavior. It limited the ability of judges to give sentences that were appropriate for the crime before the court. And I think that this is a very intelligent measure, and I'm glad that the governor has not only put it on the ballot, but he has been actively campaigning for it, even as he basically takes a pass on most of these other 17 measures on the ballot this year. So I will be voting yes on Prop 57. Next up, we look at California Proposition 58, the California Non-English Languages Allowed in Public Education Act. This came out of the State Senate Bill 1174, and voters get to approve what is in essence repealing most of Proposition 227, which a majority passed back in 1998, the English in Public Schools Initiative, and this will allow non-English languages to be used in public educational instruction. I support this because I think these decisions should be made either at the classroom level, the school level, or at most, at the school district level. I don't think the state should be interfering because, for example, I read today that the city of Santa Ana, which is the county seat in Orange County, is now 78% Latino. And I don't think that white guys in Sacramento should be telling the people of Orange County what languages should be taught in the schools in Latino-majority Santa Ana. So I am in favor of Proposition 58. In full disclosure, I opposed Proposition 227 when it was on the ballot back in 1998. So take a close look at that one and see how you think you ought to vote. Proposition 59 was supposed to be on the ballot earlier, but it was bounced by the state Supreme Court. It is merely an advisory measure, and it's called the California Overturn of Citizens United Act Advisory Question. And this is simply a measure where voters can urge our political leaders to repeal or to reform the underlying laws that were changed by the Supreme Court decision in Citizens United, notably that corporations are people, therefore corporations can contribute directly to candidate campaigns. And this is something that I fully support, and I think most of the people who listen to me and follow me understand the corrosive nature of the Citizens United decision. Now, I want to just add one parenthetical comment here, and that is in the current campaign, Hillary Clinton says that she will work to either appoint a Supreme Court justice who would vote to overturn Citizens United or would work for a constitutional amendment to correct it. And let's be fair, the Clinton campaign is taking in more dark money. And I don't know about exactly how much direct corporate money is going into either campaign. But to date, we really haven't seen corporations in any significant way take direct advantage of the Citizens United decision that allows direct corporate contributions into candidate campaigns. So, I think that's important context for this this matter. And again, this is only an advisory ballot measure that allows voters to express their position, but it will not change the law in any way, shape, or form. Proposition 60 really comes down to whether you believe in individual choice and liberty. It is the Condoms in Pornographic Films Initiative, and it requires the adult film producers to provide condoms and ensure that male performers use them during performances in which they actually engage in vaginal or anal penetration by a penis. Now, that may be language that's a little too graphic for most people when they're looking at a voter initiative or a ballot measure. But this, again, is a tough call because as a matter of public health, we would want to protect these individuals from transmittable diseases. And just like we require hairnets and rubber gloves of people who handle our food. I can understand that people believe that there is a public health concern and that voters should make this decision about whether an actual, sex film star or performer should be protected in this manner. But I guess my bottom line is that these are consenting adults, and people who choose to make a porn film, people who want to be paid to have sex, I think it's really their choice. And I would prefer to see a measure here that empowers the individuals, the actor and actress, in a given scene, and that no one should be required to perform without adequate safe sex protection if they so choose. But just like so many other measures where Big Brother or the nanny state is making decisions on a broad base that don't always fit every individual need, I find this just a little too intrusive. So I will be voting no on Proposition 60. Proposition 61 is called the Drug Price Standards Initiative. And if you vote yes, you are supporting the regulation of drug prices by requiring state agencies to pay the same prices that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs pays for prescription drugs. Now, this is a little complicated, and I want to be clear that there may be unintended consequences of Prop 61 if it passes. But we are saddled with the legacy of the Bush-era expansion of Medicare prescription benefits without negotiation with the drug companies, and the provisions in Obamacare that prevent negotiations for mass discounts with the pharmaceutical companies for drugs that are paid for by the Affordable Care Act. And these are glaring errors that should have been fixed already. But the Congress is bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, and they're not willing to take them on and make this change. And so we have massive profiteering from the most vulnerable people in our country, those who are sick and maybe are taking drugs to prevent themselves from dying. And so I think this initiative is a creative approach to try to force negotiation with the big drug manufacturers. The unintended consequence could be that if California takes this step, then the drug makers may play games with the Department of Veterans Affairs so that those prescription drug prices go up in a way to avoid giving discounts here in California. Now, that's a little convoluted, but it is possible. Nonetheless, I'm willing to take the risk and subject the drug industry to the kind of litigation it would take to overcome objections to efforts to game this system. And I think that it would be a first step. It doesn't apply to all drugs purchased in California, only those that are purchased by state agencies. And so, essentially, it requires that Medi-Cal drugs be priced at the same level as the VA drugs are. And again, I can't predict what unintended consequences might come from this, but as it is written, I will be voting yes on Proposition 61. Just so you don't get confused about the chronological order, we covered Prop 62, the repeal of the death penalty, paired up with the Prop 66, speed up the death penalty ballot measure, at the very top of this podcast. Moving now to Prop 63, this was championed by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, and it would support prohibiting the possession of large-capacity ammunition magazines and requiring individuals to pass a background check in order to purchase ammunition. Now, some people feel that this is too much of an incursion on the Second Amendment. But it's fair to say that a gun is useless without ammunition, and that people's purchase of ammunition empowers them to use a weapon. So I think it's logical. I'm sure that many people bristle at this kind of a restriction on your ability to buy ammo, presuming that you qualified and passed a background check in order to buy your gun. But it is another safety step, and you can imagine many ways that people who consider themselves criminals wouldn't follow this law, and they wouldn't follow a law to buy a gun. But it may help keep guns and the ammunition needed to fire them out of the hands of individuals who might commit a crime of passion or a crime of irrational mentality. And so this is what I consider to be reasonable regulation of firearms and the ammo that you use in them. And I will be voting yes on Prop 63. The state legislature tried to mollify the gun industry and Second Amendment activists by passing a watered-down version of this. But Gavin Newsom, if you'll forgive the expression, stuck to his guns, and it is on the ballot for your consideration. Proposition 64 would legalize marijuana for use by adults regardless of their intention, and it is referred to as the California Marijuana Legalization Initiative. It, too, was developed by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. He will be running for governor in a couple of years. And I give him a lot of credit. He's the same visionary guy who, despite being a straight male, championed same-sex marriage rights. And likewise, Gavin Newsom has said he hates marijuana, he hates the smell of it, he doesn't use it, but he believes that the war on this drug has failed, and he wants to change that. And I give him a lot of credit. I disagree with Newsom on some of his corporate leanings and a few other issues. But when it comes to some of these big-picture, big-change matters, Gavin Newsom deserves a lot of credit for being willing to take political risk. He is the only statewide elected official who has openly endorsed passage of Proposition 64. The rest of them are chicken. Jerry Brown says he's mulling it over. And I'm sorry, this is a no-brainer. There are issues about, how it's going to favor entrance into a legalized cannabis industry in the state. There are issues about what's going to happen to the current black market cultivators of marijuana. There are questions about how it will impact the cost and access for medical marijuana. But the bottom line for me is that prohibition is a flat-out failure. We need to recognize that. Colorado has. Washington State has. There are other states that are considering it right now, including Arizona, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada. And I believe that this is the time for Californians to legalize the adult use of marijuana, and I will be voting yes on Proposition 64. And to round out the 17 dizzying ballot measures that voters in California face on November 8th, or maybe when you vote at home and mail it in, Prop 65 we talked about, that is the phony measure from the plastic bag industry to get us to divert the money from buying paper bags to a fund that doesn't even exist, a wildlife fund that they have created. Prop 66 we covered at the outset. That is the effort to speed up the death penalty process here in California. And we also covered Prop 67, which is the legitimate issue to ban the use of single-use plastic bags that was put on the ballot after the plastic bag industry opposed the legislation passed by the California legislature. So I hope this is helpful to you. Again, please do not take my opinion and say that I am ordering you to vote a certain way. I hope to persuade you to my point of view, but I respect your decision. And I hope, as I said earlier, that this is just one part of the research you do to prepare yourself for deciding these measures before you vote. Thanks for listening and joining me for this special California edition of the Peter B. Collins podcast. And let's let Roy Rogers ride us off into the sunset. What do you say?
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.